You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
Our show weekly brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. You have a real age tip of the week planned for the end of the hour yet, Dr. Mike?
Absolutely. It is lose weight on a part-time diet.
Lose weight on a part-time diet. Okay.
Right. This is like Johnny Carson, the way you're saying that.
Oh, so, like Karnak.
Yes.
Like Ed McMahon.
Yes. So I should say, that's right. Lose weight on a part-time diet.
Well, let's segue into the medical story this week that has kind of a connection to this. How long do you have to exercise to work something off in terms of what you eat?
Well, in fact, this is a study of students in a high school where they had three groups. One group saw the calories, one group saw nothing but the food, and the other group saw the calories and how long they'd have to exercise to work it off. The group that saw the calories alone did not change their eating habits or did not change the number of calories they purchased. But the group that saw how much they had to exercise decreased their calories in their food. That is, they chose food with many fewer calories, and they did it consistently. So the answer was, I think it was about 25% fewer calories. So the message is, putting caloric information in context, meaning the context of how long you have to exercise, would decrease the amount of calories that people eat and may decrease obesity. The interesting thing, I made a mistake. It was at Texas Christian University, and it was 300 students at the university. There was a December 2011 study that found the same thing with soft drinks. That is, when they saw how long they would have to exercise, they went away from the caloric soft drinks.
I bet you it opens eyes up, doesn't it? Do you have an example of how long it would take to exercise to burn off something? For example, I don't know, do you have something? It's a lot of hours or a lot of exercise to burn off.
Well, let's just say there's a Big Mac, fries,
and
a soda, which is, I think, 1,200 calories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would take you 2 hours on a treadmill at almost a maximum treadmill for 2 hours.
Gosh.
That is 10 calories a minute for 2 hours is as though you're at 3.3 miles per hour at 15 degrees.
Mm.
So if you're the average 70 kilogram bear. So that's 2 hours of full exercise. Now let's do something. Let's just say it's walking. It's 4 hours of walking.
Wow.
So you'd have to walk continually for 4 hours at an average pace of 3.3 miles per hour on a flat to, in fact, walk off that 1,200 calories of the full Big Mac, large fries, and Big Cola.
So if you had that meal you just talked about and you didn't exercise, what happens?
There are three things. That one, food is more than calories. So it is also that saturated fat and the red meat and the saturated fat and the fries turns on genes that cause inflammation in your body. Secondly, if you don't exercise, don't use up the calories, the excess glucose. So during that period of time, you'll normally lose, if you're awake, you'll normally use, if you're awake, a calorie and a half a minute. So let's just say you're a calorie and a half, you're on the couch, you're watching TV, but you're not asleep, you're actively changing channels pretty often. So that's 90 calories. So you will have used 360 calories by the end of the 4 hours when you're ready to eat again. That 360 calories means that roughly 850 calories is left, and you'll store those in your fat cells.
I read one of your Facebook entries a day or two ago talking about it's even a good thing to do chores and run errands. That helps with exercise, too.
Absolutely.
Are
you enjoying that? I mean, I'm doing more and more Facebooking and tweeting. And I, you know, We have, anyone wants to follow, of course, there's 6,000. I have only about 6,000 tweet followers, so I'm welcoming more as opposed to Dr. Oz's 16 million.
I'm never more than a Facebook entry away from you.
He says 6,000 like it's such a little number. Like, that's a lot of people.
Nowhere near mine. By the way,
how many do you have, Joe?
Friends?
Yeah. Twitter followers. You probably should have about 10 million.
10 million, yes. 10 million.
You're on every morning, right? You got the morning show. You got a big audience. You're the biggest audience.
Oh, it's big. It's big. It's big. It's huge.
I think I probably come in way above both of you at 130 followers.
130 followers.
You're probably going to tweet about your fingernails, too, probably.
Please, hey, Joe, I tweet about much more important things.
By the way, Twinkies, Ho-Hos, and Ding Dongs will be back in July.
That's really good for business at the Cleveland Clinic and bad for the United States.
Well, it does add.
I look at Mike Simon, who's the king of bacon cooking, as a provider of patients to the Cleveland Clinic. Because obviously that generates TMAO, which is what we're going to talk about another story. And that TMAO causes inflammation in your arteries, which of course causes heart attacks, strokes, memory loss. Also for women causes wrinkles. So even if you're young, you shouldn't have bacon because it causes wrinkles. And for guys, it causes impotence. And for both genders, it causes decay in orgasm quality. So obviously, anyone who wants to not enjoy sex, just keep eating bacon.
those Twinkies, 1,500 new jobs. They'll hire 1,500 new people.
Oh, yeah, and they'll cause a lot more because each Twinkie is probably responsible for, you know, half of a cardiac operation, which is another 10 jobs. So it's got a lot. If you have a half a Twinkie a day, you probably have half of a cardiac operation by the time you're 50. So it's got a lot of downstream revenue increases for hospitals. Obviously, that detracts. We're at the point where the medical costs are now crowding out Social Security, crowding out social programs, and crowding out even our defense. So we need to not eat as though no one else is dependent on our eating.
Actually, there's probably no need for new Twinkies because I had one last week that was made during the Revolutionary War, and it was still very tasty.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all.
Still very, very delicious. We got a minute. Your Cleveland Clinic says they have a new treatment for migraine sufferers. It's an electrical skin patch, right?
Right. Well, this is a patch, and in fact, it's put over the ganglion, a specific ganglion, and then you stimulate it like you would turn on a TV or turn on your phone, and it generates a wave to that ganglion, and it turns off your migraine. Don't know. We rated it. It is incredibly effective, 90-some percent effective against tension headaches. They're just now studying how effective it is against migraine, but it looks promising, and we rated it because we knew the data a little bit in advance. We rated it as probably one of the top 10 medical breakthroughs of this year. So instead of having to take migraine pills, you just put on the patch and stimulate yourself.
Right. They say it's an alternative to pills or nasal sprays or injections. This will be the first time it'll be used as a patch. Not necessarily fast acting, but takes up to 2 hours before the pain is gone. But I guess very effective of getting rid of nausea. And the FDA says the migraine patch will be available probably by the end of the year. And that comes out of the Cleveland Clinic, as Dr. Mike said. Guest time next. Pharmacology, what innovative family farming can teach us about health and healing. It's the second appearance on the show for Dr. Daphne Miller. And she's next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.